It's Illum Group's Andrea Lay, PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills, Sri, and I'm PVSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom, and I'm coming to you today from the Catskills. I'll be playing Heckingers Tuesdays and Thursdays. Before we get to the CBG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of May 6th, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them dependably intriguing. We hope you do too. We're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Over to you, Sri.
In case you're wondering what this background is, I'm at my father-in-law's house all the way in Chennai, India for the next couple of weeks. So what's the message of the week? Kroger Precision Marketing strikes a partnership with none other than Yahoo DSP. So Yahoo DSP advertisers now have access to KPM's audiences for both reach and measurement. Partnership marks KPM's second DSP partnership since last fall and ushers in a new focus on commerce media for Yahoo advertising in particular. Collaborations like this one will define the next phase of growth in retail media as retailers recognize the limitations of monetization on their own digital properties and seek incremental growth by expanding offsite. This is said by Sara Marzano, principal analyst at eMarketer. For advertisers, the delayed but still impending deprecation of third-party cookies, which is now on its way, continues to underpin every decision regarding digital advertising dollars. So solutions that safeguard their investments against that will hold increasing appeal. Over to you, Andrea.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Walmart adds a new grocery line to its private brands portfolio. Walmart has announced a new private label grocery brand called Better Goods. The line includes 300 items spanning categories such as frozen, dairy, snacks, beverages, pasta, soups, coffee, and chocolate. With most items priced under $5, Better Goods focuses on three key components: culinary experiences, plant-based, and made without. The retailer said Better Goods marks not only its largest private food brand launch in two decades, but also its fastest grocery brand brought to market. Over to you, Melissa.
Thanks, Andrea. So Save Mart companies roll out in-store retail media networks. It's not enough that we have online. Now we're moving to in-store retail media networks. The Save Mart companies plans to roll out In-Store Connect, an in-store retail media network powered by Quad Graphics Inc. To start, 16 of the grocery company stores will have digital screens, kiosks, end caps, shelf screens, and vertical banners throughout, allowing CPG partners to showcase promotions, product information, and recommendations to shoppers. The program will eventually roll out to all of the Save Mart companies, approximately 200 stores. This is Save Mart's latest retail media effort, coming almost a year after a launch of its own retail media network. Over to you, Peter.
Thanks, Melissa. Rite Aid expands Uber Eats partnership for alcohol delivery in 8 states. Nearly 1,000 Rite Aid stores will now offer alcohol delivery via retailers' expanded partnership with Uber Eats. Customers of legal drinking age can get delivery from select stores in California, Idaho, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Oregon, Virginia, and Washington. Quote, our collaboration and trusted partnership with Uber Eats underscores our commitment to meet the evolving needs of our customers and providing a seamless digital shopping experience that complements their busy lives, unquote, said Jeannie Walden, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at Rite Aid, the U.S.'s third largest pharmacy retailer. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sri and Peter.
Hey everyone, welcome again to the CPG Guys podcast. I'm PVSB, one of the aforementioned CPG Guys. I'm also the Vice President of Commercial Strategy at Fetch Rewards, the mobile loyalty platform. I'm particularly intrigued by loyalty and the applications of first-party consumption data in the CPG retail industry. My co-host, well, he's an expert in omni-channel commerce. He's fascinated by retail media and digital marketing. Please welcome my co-host, my collaborator, the man known as Sri. Sri, how you doing today?
He used to say my ride or die. Now he's moved to collaborator, but I can live with it. I'm just thrilled that at the time of this recording last night, we were at a famous game of the Astros, a.k.a. the Cheaters with Altuve at Yankee Stadium after 8 innings. Yankees were putting goose eggs and we were down 3-6. And then suddenly you turn around, Hicks hit a 3-run homer, Judge hits a ground rule single. And I learned yesterday there's something called a ground rule single, but we won't bore Monica about what that is. But bottom line, 52-19, this is looking to be the year, Peter. I can feel it. The fact that we're going to the All-Star game in a couple of weeks, double bonus.
I don't know what was better, Sri, the fact that you got to watch the Yankees win or the fact that we were able to find some poke bowls and tuna at the stadium. I mean, this is a...
Sushi.
This is a long cry from the days of Nathan's hot dogs, and that's about all there was. So we were definitely eating like a bunch of gourmands last night, but thank you for that, Sri. Before we get to our guest, I want to remind our audience that all of our content, you can find it on our brand new website, cpgguys.com. We have all sorts of rich content. We have a merch store if you want to buy a t-shirt or a water bottle. And we've organized our episodes into themes like retail media, loyalty, and branding. If you go there, please do sign up for our forthcoming newsletter. We're working on that very diligently. And if you're not already following us on LinkedIn, just open up the app or go to the LinkedIn site and enter CPG Guys in the search box. And when you get to our page, simply click follow. That way you'll get to see all of the content we're producing. And the best thing about it, Sri, how much does it cost? Nothing? Yeah, that's right. Nothing. It's free. I mean, who doesn't like free, right? Because for us, it's always about the education and sharing journey. And we're going to keep it that way. So we're really excited about it. We've got about almost 14,000 people following us at the time of this recording, and really a whole bunch of industry luminaries. We're really honored that you've chosen to take note of the content we're producing. Don't forget to check out the FMCG Guys podcast hosted by our friends Daniel and Ephraim. They're taking our format and going across the pond, speaking to retail and fast-moving consumer goods luminaries from a European perspective. Just visit fmcgguys.com. And of course, Sri and I are incredibly proud to partner with Next Up, formerly known as Network of Executive Women, whose mission it is to advance all women in business and to promote the cause of gender equality and career development. Please visit nextupisnow.org/CPGguys. We have our own landing page, Sri. Can you believe that? To learn more about this great group, and in the middle of every Wednesday episode, you can find a little Easter egg on upcoming seminars and events they have planned. Please do visit the site to see how you can be a part of Next Up. So today's episode features a seasoned marketing leader and at a digitally native challenger brand, Lola, which seeks to reinvent feminine care by starting with high-quality natural ingredients that consumers can trust. Our guest is the chief marketing officer at Lola. She joined in 2016 after a successful run at another very famous digitally native brand, Dollar Shave Club. It's an iconic brand. She had a four-year run prior to that in traditional CPG at the Colgate-Palmolive Company. Please join Sri and me in welcoming to the podcast Monica Belsito. Monica, how are you? Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today. Excited to be here to chat CPG.
Well, this is great, Monica. You know, early in my brand career, I worked for a manufacturer of feminine care brands. So I was in category management in the late 90s. So I probably know more about fem care than most men do. So I'm really excited to have this conversation.
You know, just when I think I know everything about Peter, I learn a little something new. I did know that you did work in femcare for some period because it's in your LinkedIn history. But perhaps we can discover some expertise today as we go through the questions.
Well, it brought new meaning to the term paper or plastic to me. That's an inside joke. Yeah, see, Monica gets it. Hey, Monica, before we get to the questions we've got prepared for you, why don't you let our audience know first where on the web they can learn more about Lola? And would you give us a brief introduction to your company and most importantly, what your mission is?
Absolutely. So you can find us online on our direct consumer site, mylola.com. That is the home base for Lola. It's where we launched in July of 2015 and still continues to be a very important and strategic place, not just because it's where you can come to find our full suite of products, but also because it's where you can get all of the free and rich content, because like you guys, content and education have to be free. So you don't need to be a customer to access our rich content on the spot on our website, mylola.com. You can also find our products at retailers nationwide, including Amazon and Walmart. So you can check out their .coms as well if you're not into the D2C model. We get it. We don't care where you buy us. We want to be there for our consumer, however they want to shop, where they want to shop, and when it's convenient for them. And then to kind of circle back on your next question in terms of what is Lola and what our mission is. So when we launched Lola in July of 2015, the brand really started to not just deliver on convenience, which the subscription model, direct consumer model absolutely does deliver, but really importantly, deliver transparency in a category where there had not been any. So with the launch of Lola, we asked one very seemingly simple question: what is in your tampon? And the truth of the matter is, because of the way that the FDA regulates the category, ingredients labeling is not a requirement. So on the back of those traditional brands, you would find lists that said may contain. And as conscious consumers ourselves in every other category, the fact that we as educated women hadn't bothered to check what's on that side of the box really lit a fire under us into, one, providing that ingredients transparency, making sure that the products were made with safe, natural materials that were also effective, because let's face it, you can't be let down by your period product. That is an embarrassing disaster. And then most importantly, going back to the core, why didn't we ask these questions? Well, it's because reproductive health and wellness has been overly politicized and overly sexualized for my entire life and really since the dawn of time. And because of that, these topics are taboo in most households. And when you have a taboo topic that you don't feel comfortable talking to your friends about, talking to your family about, asking your teachers or your doctors, that's where this rote passive loyalty comes into play and you don't expect anything better. And at Lola, we believe that our consumers deserve the best when it comes to their reproductive health and wellness. And it starts with ingredients transparency, and it doesn't end there. It then leads into education, communities that offer those safe and open spaces to talk about these topics, because they are universal in terms of an experience of a person with a uterus, a human who bleeds. And everyone who experiences those things should have a brand that's looking out for them. And honestly, today is a day that probably that has never rung truer, where brands and companies are needing to create these safe spaces for humans to come and be respected and be cared for. And so that's why at Lola, we're doing that not just in period care, but across the spectrum from first period to last hot flash.
You know, Monica, thank you for that. Sri and I could not concur more. We both live in households where the majority of the members are female in nature, and we could not be more supportive of the cause.
For the record, the balance in my household is 4-1.
Mine is 3-1, but yes, in any case, we...
I actually got that number wrong, Peter. It's 5-1 because we have 2 kittens now.
That's right. You have 2 kittens. Exactly.
We haven't gotten to menstruating pets yet, but maybe that's on the horizon for the whole family. Put it on the innovation pipeline.
All right. So to our audience, I'm going to put a link in the digital liner notes, both to a couple of things. One, to Monica's LinkedIn profile, to Lola's LinkedIn page, and of course, the My Lola commerce site. So all of those will be available. No need to write it down. Just open up your podcast platform, go to the liner notes, and click on the hyperlink. It's that easy. So you can follow along while you're listening to our conversation. Why don't we kick that off then, Monica? I'll do the first question, then pass it over to Sri. But it would be helpful for you to walk us through some of the pivotal points in your career personally, moving from a really scaled multi-brand manufacturer like Colgate-Palmolive to this, you know, infamous digitally native startup, Dollar Shave Club. You know, what was exciting? What took adjustment? And ultimately, what drew you to Lola?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Colgate-Palmolive was the most incredible training ground I could have ever asked for. They truly believe in seeing marketers as general managers and growing them as such. So I had a phenomenal experience with incredible mentors there, primarily on the oral care side, which obviously Colgate is very well known for in toothbrushes, toothpaste, and kids' toothpaste. In the kids actually category. And it was while I was on kids, I got this awesome opportunity to be a little bit rogue and entrepreneurial at Colgate. When Justin Bieber actually signed with our competitor, a very like QVC brand competitor, Tooth Tunes. And it went into an In-N-Out at Walmart and suddenly became the number one selling toothbrush in the country. And I remember the day that the head of North America kind of like slammed the Bieber toothbrush on my desk and was like, we have to beat Bieber. And it was at a time where we were actually thinking about moving away from licensing. But long story short, I had no budget. I had to do something. And got really scrappy and started attending upfronts and making inroads with some friends in the music business, and ended up getting to co-discover One Direction with Columbia Records and signed them for an undisclosed amount, but one that I could afford with my no-name budget, and essentially launched an entirely new line across the kids platform. So manual toothbrush, powered toothbrush and toothpaste within record speed for Colgate. We went to market in, you know, under 9 months, got buyers behind us. I helped negotiate the contract to, you know, have the boys do posts and all the fun added value marketing, and did some fun exclusives for Walmart. And it really just lit that fire that when pushed, a large corporation can move really fast and nimbly and not just ride the waves of a trend, but create the trend. But it became very clear that that was not going to be the norm. That was an exception to the rule. And it was a little bit hard for me to go back up into the traditional innovation cycle, where we spent a lot of time and money understanding consumers. But by the time it got to the buyer's desk, you know, the innovation had been a bit diluted. The buyers had a lot of the power in terms of trading up the category. And these were typically categories with duopolies and monopolies. And when I looked at what Dollar Shave Club was doing, was they were attacking just that, kind of the frustration that I think a lot of marketers had with this seemingly broken relationship with buyers at the time. It just felt uncollaborative in the wrong way. And what you could do uniquely with direct-to-consumer was not cut out Walmart's margin of 35%, because believe me, FedEx takes more of that. So this wasn't a cost-cutting thing. It really was a place where your shopper, your user, your consumer, and your customer were all one human. And so you could service them without any conflicts of interest. And that really fascinated me. And it's what made me jump to this world of D2C. And I think, you know, what was awesome about going there, you know, tried and true marketing principles stay the same. And what a lot of young D2C companies were lacking were those tried and true marketing principles. Let's get back to the four or five P's, however many P's you want to count. Let's be disciplined in creating problem solution statements, you know, using those consumer insights and that D2C base as a learning lab to de-risk product launch, but move really, really fast and really quick to deliver on what they really, really want, which isn't a $12 razor. It actually was a $1 razor, which isn't another bell and whistle or a different colored applicator. It's actually delivering ingredients transparency. So really it goes back to what is the consumer's problem in that space? Is it a product problem? Is it a pricing problem? Is it a shoppability problem? Is it an education problem? And then coming up with the product, whether it is physical or digital, to actually provide that solution.
Before we go anywhere, let me first tell you, Monica, how proud and honored I am that a brand that actually represents females' reproductive rights and is on a mission to educate. We're honored to have you on the podcast and the CPG guys, that you chose to come to us and spread the mission for Alola Femcare. And for the record, Peter, did you know this is the first time the Bieber has been mentioned on the show? So now I'm looking forward to who else gets mentioned on the show. And I was able to track with everything you said, Monica, because my wife actually now works for Universal Music Group and my kids are in the full-time in the entertainment business. My daughter was an American Idol finalist 2014. So
wow.
I know that model, especially contracting, very, very well, intimately well. So I want to thank you for the answer to the first question, and your sentiment on education is pretty clear over here, right? So in that spirit of education, the first question that came to my mind was, what can you tell our audience about the unmet need that consumers have that Lola jumped right into? And as you build the product portfolio, do you continue to do that? And how was this brand formed? Why Lola?
Yeah, so again, kind of going back to the early days, and I can kind of tell the founding story. So Jordana and Alex, Lola's co-founders, came together after Jordana was in business school and saw the subscription model just taking off, right? You could get everything, tie of the month club, you know, beer of the month club, whiskey of the month. And there was something that came every month and we used every month, but there was no subscription product for it. And that is our periods. And as, you know, women who have had periods since we're anywhere from 9 to 16, we would still get caught with either not having the product that we needed in our bathrooms or having the wrong size. And what I mean by that is, you know, we as women, we have all unique flows and our flows actually change daily. And so one of the first questions we ask when you join Lola is like, what's your mix? And I'm a light super plus girl. But the problem on the shelf was that all of these packs were pre-assorted for people as if, you know, we were one in the same and all needed the same mix for our flows, whether it be just with tampons or frankly, a mix of tampons, pads, liners, cups, period underwear. Over 60% of users aren't just using one type of product. And the way that the shelves and the brands are branded and situated assumes that we use one product in a very, you know, uniform way across the board. So that was first and foremost not true. And so the brand originally set out as a convenience play. How do we make sure that I have what I need in my bathroom before I get my period in the mix that is unique to me? So the first product to launch was organic cotton tampons in a box of 18. And you can literally pick your mix from light to super plus down to the tampon in that box. And every month you can switch it up because sometimes I'm on an airplane and that delays my period and then it's a little lighter. So there are things in our lives, even on an every other month basis, that could change and change that mix up. So we really wanted to make sure that we were delivering the product solution in a convenient way that mirrored the use case of the consumer. The second thing, and probably the bigger aha moment, happened when Jordana and Alex tried to find a contract manufacturer to make the product. And with that, that's when we all realized, oh my gosh, I have no idea what's in here. And a may contain list is of all of these chemical products. Like, I don't really want that to be in my body, especially not in a place that's as intimate and vulnerable as the vaginal canal. And, you know, with that, went on a mission to find a manufacturer that actually would be transparent in the ingredient, and that we could trust it by validating it with gynecologist testing. And so that piece of the mission and the vision of the brand has stuck. And what we did once it was a proof of concept, given 3 weeks, we had a customer in every state in the contiguous US that this is something that women wanted. And again, it's something that they never knew was possible and they never thought about. So it's one of those things that it wasn't a hand race for the community to say, we need this, we need this, we need this. And no one was answering. It was, oh my God, I never even knew that I didn't know what was in my tampon. And now that I've been asked that question, I have to know. And I'm mad. I'm angry that these brands weren't caring for me enough to tell me or to care to create an ingredients list, even if the FDA didn't require it. So the convenience and the transparent, safe ingredient piece was core from the beginning. And then the third kind of trifecta of the brand is access. And when we say access, we mean access to education, access to experts, access to a community that has also gone through the same thing. Because in our consumer insights, when we talk to the women who are already a member of our community, we found that actually it was much more than people who identified as women. We had a massive trans following, because by destigmatizing the packaging for us as cisgendered women, we solved a problem that the trans community actually had too, which was that these boxes were covered in pink. They had twirling tampons on them. They felt like toxic femininity in aisles that were embarrassing to go down. And so even we discovered communities and spaces and places that we were solving problems for that we didn't even intend to, we happened to, but now can advocate for.
Thank you for that, Monica. Now I want to get to the heart of what your role is, which is marketing, right? So would you share with our audience, what are the overarching marketing message or messages you're using to create awareness, draw in, and ultimately acquire customers? And how do you go about developing your marketing strategy? And lastly, I'll just add to that, based upon the thousands of very highly rated reviews you have on your site that I also see you're sharing on to sites like Walmart.com, user feedback is probably a core resource. Would love to hear how this all plays into the marketing message you're creating.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, starts with the consumer insight, right? We realized that we had solved something big in tampons. Where else might that same problem solution statement exist, where there's no transparency, that the topic is taboo, and that the solution requires clean ingredients, clear transparency in those ingredients, education, support, and access? And what we realized was that that thread continued across the reproductive health journey. So as we're talking about the first sexual experience or the sexual journey that she has, if we're talking about the first time trying to conceive and that pregnancy journey, what does that look like? And what is that met with in terms of feeling alone, feeling isolated, like you have to reinvent a wheel that should have been solved for you? Looking at incontinence, looking at menopause, it actually gets worse, more isolating, and harder to get access to understanding what is happening to your body and that it's normal for the most part, honestly. And we're always first to blame our bodies and not the products we're using when it comes to this area of our lives. And so how could we execute and begin to execute on that mission? So, you know, years 1 and 2, round out the period and really make sure that we're providing a holistic experience for period care. And what that meant for the brand was going back to that first moment. And so we actually launched a first period kit, and we wrote a guide to your first period in conjunction with a medical expert in adolescent pediatrics out of Los Angeles, Dr. Lisa Stern, who's incredible and has partnered with us along the way. And when we did that, we solved more problems that we intended to once again. And so it really is just listening to that community, making sure that we have as many touch points for proactive feedback as we can, One of them is reviews, obviously. Another is help at My Lola. We also opened up an Ask the Expert portal. Particularly given today's news, we've launched an exclusive email experts@mylola.com for any of those who don't have access to reproductive healthcare that they deserve. Please write in, again, experts@mylola.com, and we're there for you to help guide and find those resources where we can. And that's really what leads the product roadmap and the marketing roadmap. So when we need to round out periods, it goes back to that question, do you know what's in your blank? And that starts and unlocks the conversation. And with that, it allows us to introduce why clean ingredients are important and the benefits that it has without trading off in performance. So it really gets back to kind of that core product messaging at the baseline. And then on top of it, from a brand, the fact that we don't look like the period brands before us allows us to transcend beyond periods into these other categories. We know that our consumers have given us the right to play in sexual wellness, to play in vaginal health, to play in pregnancy, incontinence, and menopause, because they want that one brand to hold their hand through that entire journey, because it's not fragmented. Many of these things are happening at once. And so the fact that brands before us have asked consumers to go to so many places for that one solution, we feel is silly, especially because so much of it starts with education. So the messaging that we have, you know, this year, because we've been able to launch and solidify our position in periods, sexual wellness, and vaginal care, is this to from message. So from periods to pH balance, Lola has you covered. From periods to pleasure, Lola has you covered. From periods to pregnancy, Lola has you covered. We're more than just a period brand now. We are really delivering on that mission and vision to cover you throughout.
If I haven't said so already, can I repeat how proud I am that you chose the CPG guys to come spread the mission of reproductive rights? I'm truly grateful that you chose to do that, especially today. So, you know, your role as a CMO, one of the things you deal with every single day is managing your marketing mix and all the elements around the marketing mix, which is, of course, a balance of investments that you choose to make. So I'd love to hear from you and for our audience, what are your primary marketing mix elements and how are you leading the customer acquisition sources? Like, where are your new customers actually coming from?
Media kind of now more than ever is shifting on a dime, and there's so many places to put your dollars. So I think as a marketer, it's actually the hardest time it's ever been to be a marketer, because there's so much choice and a finite budget, right? So especially as a D2C brand that has extended into omnichannel retail, we can't just rely on kind of your typical DR methods of the old way of growth hacking. And regardless of going omni, frankly, the way that Meta has evolved the business, the old ways of, you know, arbitrage and Facebook bids, those are just gone. And Instagram and Facebook, to me, are no longer DR channels. They are awareness channels. It's where people are finding new brands, but they're not necessarily clicking and converting there. It's really become an awareness play for us. So a few years ago, we actually moved away from this, the traditional D2C DR bidding model, and haven't spent a dime on a CPA on Facebook in a really long time. But as an awareness channel, incredibly effective and relatively, if you look at other awareness, like the ROAS there and the CPMs are pretty darn affordable. So that is still a large piece of our marketing mix in terms of utilizing Meta and their platforms. It's just not what it used to be. It used to be the place where we acquired customers at the bottom of the funnel. Now it's a place where we meet customers upper funnel in terms of the paid. We obviously also have a very strong owned channel mix across, again, all social platforms. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, obviously huge. I'm not saying anything mind-blowing. TikTok is the place to be right now. And I think a really fun one, because you don't need a creative budget to be able to create on TikTok. If you have, you know, fun, creative employees. You know, we have TikTok Tuesdays. We spend an hour. We just do weird stuff and see what sticks. So it's a very low risk testing platform because of how the algorithm works. If you fail, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't punish you. So it's great to test, see what scales. And then importantly, figure out what about that worked because of that channel alone versus what could potentially work on another channel to put money behind it. Because I think what I see a lot of people accidentally do is see something work on Instagram and then try to put it on TikTok and it fails, or vice versa. Like, they're very, very different places. So fit for channel creative is now more than ever uber important. And then in terms of other, you know, upper funnel, OTT is super exciting right now. Obviously, Hulu's new launch of self-service platform is something we're interested in. I still have my questions on, can you spend on a budget that's below 40K a month and reach that impression level that you need? Because as you know, reach frequency is still the name of the game for awareness media, and that doesn't change regardless of the platform, whether it's linear TV or over the top. On our mid funnel, really, that's where our owned and earned plays hard for us. So we lean into a lot of partnerships. In particular, we have exclusive representation at Equinox for period products in Equinox bathrooms. That's a great kind of full funnel, you know, where it's awareness of Lola to begin with, they try it and then they buy it. So making sure that we're in as many bathrooms as possible is key for us, and something that, you know, our category can uniquely lean into as a really great place to drive that full funnel play. And then from a DR perspective, honestly, right now it's all about Google. We'll probably open up for some other testing, whether sampling can start to make sense again. But Google is the tried and true DR, and that's where we'll stay.
I want to remind our audience that today Sri and I are speaking with Monica Belsito, the Chief Marketing Officer at Lola. Well, that's terrific, Monica. This is very helpful. A couple more questions for you. For me, I would like to understand, you know, in addition to your direct-to-consumer site, you also sell Lola via Amazon.com. You sell it via Walmart. You mentioned that earlier. Would like to understand what your channel mix overall looks like, and how do you think about investing against both, because you're also in physical retail, how you think about investing against all your different channel components?
Yes. So each channel has a specific place in the overall portfolio for Lola. At this point in time, D2C is truly the learning lab. I think, you know, we've all seen, you know, CPAs just skyrocket, and so long gone are the days where you can just acquire someone for $22 blended. It costs a lot of money. And while we've done tremendous work to grow our AOV as our portfolio has expanded, you know, we've 3x'd since launch. That's no easy feat. And that alone does not allow us to just spend willy-nilly and go above $200 or something with a ridiculous payback period. Again, even with higher AOVs than a lot of CPG brands and a churn rate that is below 2%. So our loyalty is incredible, but it still doesn't mean I can spend like that. So D2C is the channel of connection, and retail is now the channel of growth and scale. So our mix currently is 50-50 from a top line perspective, D2C to retail. Going into next year, the weight will probably start to lean more into retail as we look to ACV growth as the primary growth driver of the top line of the business.
You just referred to retail being one of the primary channels of growth, and two such retailers right up there on the mix that can make a difference for you and for brands in general are Amazon and Walmart. So how does your role of CMO intersect with Amazon Ads, Walmart Connect, and play into your channel marketing plan? Do you guys do this yourself, self-service, or are you using any Amazon and Walmart ad agencies or third-party management platforms? And what would be your advice to others in the same path?
Yeah, sure. A lot of questions packed into one. In terms of my role directly in the management of all the dollars spent on what we call retail media networks, that is all part of my job and my budget. So I partner very closely with our sales team and the heads of each of those channels. So we have someone internally who directly manages Amazon. We have someone internally who's obviously managing the other brick and mortar first retailers that have .com components. So at the onset of budget season, I work with them to understand the goals and carve out a part of the marketing budget to service those on-platform channels, in addition to actually Ibotta, I will mention, because Ibotta and Walmart have that tight connection, and it works so well to drive trial. I also manage the DFSI budget, which primarily is through Ibotta. And we internally, in terms of hands-on keyboard, we actually have a partner that we work with and love and could not do jobs without. We have a specific Slack channel so that we can pivot on the daily in terms of our targets. So for, you know, Walmart and Amazon specifically, the brokers that we work with, because we also work with a broker network, versus having an internal sales team that services kind of everything, that would not be tenable for the size of our business. And if anyone is launching into retail as a direct consumer brand, highly recommend the broker model to launch with, especially because so many of them can also provide expertise in the media, hands-on keyboard side of things, as well as advertising strategy. So we decision in-house, but rely on our partners to execute.
I'm going to close out our questioning here, and this has been really wonderful, Monica. Thank you for taking the time to detail this. I will mention, you mentioned a couple of acronyms. We like to break those down before I ask the last question. AOV stands for?
Average Order Value.
And OTT stands for?
Over the top, but most people know it as, you know, Hulu. Non-linear television.
Yeah, we just find with our audience, breaking down some of those and bringing them along helps them understand, and they don't tune it out. So thank you for taking the time to do that.
Oh, totally.
So my last question to you, this is really looking towards the future. You know, where are you looking to innovate with Lola to grow your business? And also, you're already in some strategic retail, grocery, brick and mortar retailers. Should we expect to see you move into other physical retail channels in short order?
Yes, absolutely. So we actually just launched our period care into Walgreens last month. So that's super exciting, since drug is obviously a critical channel for our category. And that, again, is where the growth is going to be. So I would say to folks, definitely expect to see us on more shelves in the near term, likely starting with our core and then extending outside of it. So our core to us means period care first, and then expansion into sexual wellness and vaginal health. Because for us, again, we really want to make sure, and our retail partners really love the fact that we are thinking about this, how our consumer is shopping it and experiencing it and using it. And as much as we can, and I'll tease one retailer that's going to launch in a few months, want to ensure that that is created in a store environment. So you'll very soon see from us the first ever cross-category launch with an end cap that's a semi-perm end cap with all of our categories represented, which is super exciting and a huge win, because oftentimes what that means, and folks will know who are in multiple categories or have been, it's more than one buyer. And it's when the retailers have the foresight to know that this is actually what's going to grow their category and their traffic and create interest for that very valuable millennial and Gen Z consumer to come in. They've got to show up for them differently. And we're helping them do that.
I'd like to remind our audience that you should try to visit the cpgguys.com URL. You can find all of our content there. links to our 200 plus episodes. They're all organized into themes. Makes it very easy for you to find ones that are relevant to what you're trying to learn about. And of course, if you think you have something to contribute to the thought leadership conversation, just drop us an email at contact@cpgguys.com. Maybe you can join us on the podcast someday in the future. And also go when you're at cpgguys.com, go to the review section, leave us a review. We all like feedback. We all like content. We know that our friend Monica and the team at Lola loves feedback. They have thousands of very highly rated reviews on their site. So join the 1,300 plus followers of our podcast. Listen to what we're producing and give us some feedback so that we can tune our content to be reflective of what your needs are. Hey, Monica, really want to thank you for joining us today on a very important day in the history of this country as it pertains to women's rights. We're really grateful that you took time out of this day to talk with us about what you're doing with Lola and the mission that you're seeking to advance. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So Sri, wow, what a power pack conversation, right? A whole bunch of stuff. What were some of your thoughts you want to bring to the top and summarize from today's conversation?
As I've said, Peter, I'm proud that Monica chose the CPG Guys platform that to today to actually come here and discuss a mission of what Lola Femcare and the entire product family is on. I love that we started up top with D2C. We talked about content and education must be free because knowledge to the masses is what empowers people to be who they are and know their choices they can make in life. And far often in our nation, content is not free, which is holding people back. So I love that you're on that mission as well, Monica. Then we touched elements of a marketing mix, different for D2C versus the in-store. And then we jumped into Monica actually closing out with the role of in mixed category end cap, which doing what I do for a living on my day job, I know the value of that significantly. But I want to say congrats for getting the mixed category semi-permanent end cap. That is no easy feat, but in your previous life, you have done that before. So we knew that was coming at some point. So congratulations on that power-packed episode. Couldn't have picked a better day and a better brand to come together on this day. And I'm proud again that this message will go out. And I can't wait for this episode to actually make the airwaves pretty soon.
Always a pleasure, Sri. And to our audience, thanks for joining us. We look forward to speaking with you on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.